So the sources we're digging into today, they start with this, this really haunting image. They say the bell is already ringing, but you know, it's not a church bell. It's described as a tremor in the collective nervous system.
And that's a powerful way to kick things off. And honestly, it's almost a relief to hear someone frame it that way, you know?
Yeah, so.
Well, we usually just talk about burnout. We say, I'm overwhelmed or I'm so tired.
Yeah.
But these sources, they're calling it a cognitive crisis of coherence.
Mm.
The basic argument is that the human mind, well, it's starting to fracture under the weight of the very technology it created.
I think we all feel that tremor, that low-level hum of anxiety you get when your phone's been in another room for, what, 10 minutes?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And the sources make this incredibly bold claim right up front. We're always hearing data is the new oil, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this deep dive suggests that attention has actually supplanted both oil and data. It's now the primary resource of the global economy.
Which, it just makes perfect sense when you really think about it. I mean, follow the logic. Without attention, there's no economy because you need focus to consume anything. There's no democracy because that requires real deliberation.
Right.
You can't even really have a self because your identity is just the sum of what you pay attention to.
Yeah.
So the stakes are, well, they're existential.
Exactly. And that really brings us to the mission for this deep dive. We're not just going to talk about screen time or doing a digital detox.
It never works.
It never works. It lasts maybe 4 hours. No. We are unpacking what the sources are calling the attention war, an industrialized conflict for our consciousness.
It's a literal war, not a metaphor. And our goal today is to map out the battlefield, understand the weapons, and then, and this is the part I'm really excited for, we're going to explore this proposal for an attention sovereignty protocol. How to actually win our minds back.
So let's unpack that, because I think everyone listening feels that compulsion to scroll, that inability to just be. Why is it so hard to just stop?
Well, the first thing I understand is what the material calls the asymmetry of power. See, we blame ourselves. We think it's a failure of willpower, like, oh, I'm just weak.
Yep, I do that all the time.
But it's not. It's your biology, which, you know, evolved for the slow rhythms of the savannah, going up against supercomputers. Against teams of behavioral psychologists.
Talk to me about the savannah brain, because mine definitely feels like it's still stuck there.
It is. All of ours are. Your brain is hardware that hasn't had a firmware update in maybe 200,000 years. It's designed to scan the horizon for a lion or look for a flash of color that might be berries. It's all about scarcity.
And now we've just dropped that brain into a 247 Las Vegas.
It's worse than that. It's a casino that follows you into the bathroom. You have engineers A/B testing the exact shade of red for a notification that will trigger your threat response. It's not a fair fight.
Not even close. And the industry has figured out something so specific about dopamine. This was a huge aha moment for me. This myth that dopamine is the pleasure molecule.
Exactly. That's the biggest misconception. If scrolling was about pleasure, you do it for 10 minutes, feel great, and then put the phone down, satisfied.
But that never happens.
It never happens. Because the neuroscience is clear. Dopamine isn't about pleasure. It's about seeking. It's about anticipation. It's the drive for the reward, not the feeling of getting it.
Thrill of the hunt.
It is. The industry doesn't need to make you happy. In fact, happy people probably put their phones down.
Right.
They just need to keep you wanting, keep you hunting.
And this is where that slot machine analogy comes in. I really didn't realize how literal it was.
Oh, it's completely literal. It comes from B.F. Skinner. Intermittent variable rewards. If a rat gets a food pellet, every time it presses a lever, it gets bored. But if the reward is unpredictable, sometimes it gets food, sometimes it doesn't.
Then it just keeps pressing it.
Compulsively. Yeah. Until it collapses.
And that is the pull to refresh mechanism.
Precisely. You pull down, you see that little spinning wheel. And in that split second, your brain is just flooded with anticipation. When are we going to get a like, bad news, a text, nothing?
And that uncertainty is the hook?
That uncertainty spikes your dopamine higher than actually getting the reward would. It's all by design. And it triggers what's called a salient spike. Your savannah brain treats every little red badge, every buzz, as a potential survival threat or opportunity. It bypasses conscious thought.
Which leads right into this battle the sources describe inside the brain, the top down versus the bottom up.
Right. So you have your executive control network. That's your, I'm going to write my novel brain. That's top down. And then you have the salience network, the bottom up system. It just reacts to bright color, sudden noises, emotional triggers.
And the digital world is built to just hammer that bottom up system.
Constantly. It creates ego depletion. Your executive function. It runs on a limited battery. Every time you resist a notification, you burn a little fuel.
I feel this every day around 3 p.m. My battery is just dead.
Exactly. And that's when you find yourself doom scrolling. Your defenses are exhausted and you're just left in this state of impulsive reactivity.
Okay, so that's the battlefield. What's the motive? Why is the system built this way?
It all comes down to the business model. Time on device. In the attention economy, you, the user, you're not the customer.
The advertiser is the customer.
Right. And you are the resource being harvested. And because the goal is to maximize that harvest, you get this race to the bottom of the brainstem.
That's a great phrase.
It is. Platforms are incentivized to find more and more aggressive ways to hijack our primitive instincts, because that's what works.
And one of those tactics that really stood out was the ludic loop. I feel like I live in that loop.
Oh, we all do. The ludic loop is that trance-like state you get into when stopping cues are removed. Think about reading a newspaper. You get to the end of the page.
Bit of natural pause.
A natural pause where your brain asks, do I want to keep doing this?
But with the infinite scroll.
It never ends. There is no stopping cue. Or think about Netflix with its autoplay. Before you can even think, the next episode is starting in 543.
I hate that countdown. It's pure anxiety.
It's designed to remove the friction of choice. It puts you in a passive flow state, and you lose all track of time. You're just in the loop.
And then there's this other piece of the extraction economy, what the sources call the legitimization of passion exploitation.
It's a really sharp critique of the creator economy. We create all the content, right? The posts, the videos, we do it for the love of it or for likes. We're essentially getting paid in dopamine.
While the platform monetizes our attention for actual dollars.
Precisely. We're doing the labor and they're extracting the value.
And the total cost of all this isn't just wasted time. The sources call it a tragedy of the cognitive commons.
Yeah, just like overgrazing destroys a shared field, unregulated attention capture pollutes our shared mental environment. It just fills everything with noise.
Which brings us to the systemic impact. This isn't just about me getting distracted anymore. It's about who me is. There's that William James quote, "My experience is what I agree to attend to."
That's the philosophical core, isn't it? If you are what you pay attention to, then when algorithms fragment your attention, they are literally fragmenting your identity.
The sources use that term, individuals.
Right. An individual is something that cannot be divided, a coherent self. But the algorithm sees you as a collection of data points to be triggered. Individual, it targets your outrage at 8 a.m., your consumerism at noon. You're just a series of reactions.
And when you scale that up, when you have millions of individuals all reacting, you get what they call the distributed automaton.
Yeah, this is where it gets into systems theory. The algorithms optimize for engagement. And what's most engaging? Outrage, fear.
The stuff that gets a reaction.
Exactly. So the system feeds us more of that. We react. The system learns and the feedback loop gets stronger. It creates this super organism that only cares about signal propagation, not truth, not well-being, just keeping the signal moving.
And you can see this in our ability to work. The stats on context switching are just brutal.
Over 23 minutes to fully recover your focus after a single distraction.
So if you're checking Slack every 10 minutes,
you are never in a state of deep work. Period. You are only doing shallow work.
Terrifying. And for leaders, it leads to decision fatigue.
They just become reactive. You can't think strategically when you're just putting out fires all day.
And then at the widest possible lens, you have cognitive warfare.
The new frontier. State actors using reflexive control. They just flood the zone with so much noise, the fire hose of falsehood.
The goal isn't even to make you believe a lie.
No, the goal is to make you doubt that truth even exists, to make you apathetic. It erodes a nation's cognitive sovereignty. If you can scramble a population's attention, you don't need bombs. They defeat themselves.
Okay, so before we jump to the solution, I have to play devil's advocate here because I can hear someone listening saying, come on, just use willpower. Put the phone down.
It's a fair question, but the sources are very clear on this. Relying on willpower is a strategy that is guaranteed to fail.
Because it's a depletable resource.
It's a depletable resource, and you're using it to fight a system designed specifically to deplete it. It's like they use this analogy of a food desert.
Right.
Telling someone to use willpower in this environment is like telling someone who only has access to fast food to just eat healthy. The entire environment is engineered against you.
Okay, what about the other argument, the AI will save us idea, that we'll have AI agents to filter all the noise for us?
The AI exoskeleton.
Yeah.
But the counterargument is automation bias. If we outsource curation to an AI, our own judgment starts to atrophy. We forget how to do it ourselves.
We become even more passive.
And the AI optimizes for what we click on, our revealed preferences, not what we actually value, our normative preferences. So it might just reinforce our worst habits, only more efficiently.
So no magic bullet, no AI butler. We have to do it ourselves.
We do.
Which brings us to the Attention Sovereignty Protocol, a four-step plan to reclaim that space between thoughts.
Right. Moving from diagnosis to prescription.
Okay. Step one is signals. Discernment.
This is all about changing your relationship with your own emotions.
Yeah.
Usually we feel bored or anxious, and we treat that as a command to pick up the phone.
It's an automatic reflex.
It is. The protocol says treat those emotions as data, not as commands. And they suggest the S.P. method.
S-T-O-P.
Stop. Take a breath. Observe what you're feeling.
Yeah.
And then proceed. It sounds almost too simple, but the goal is just to interrupt that automatic loop for maybe 3 seconds, just long enough to ask, why am I really doing this?
Okay, step two, boundaries, or as they call it, the architecture of love.
I love that framing. It's not about punishment. It's about protecting what you love by creating Faraday cages for the mind.
So zones where the digital world can't get in.
Exactly. Metaphorically, at least. The bedroom is the classic one. If your phone is the first thing you touch in the morning,
you've already lost the day.
You've lost. You have to physically block the intrusion if you want to protect things like intimacy, sleep, or deep thought. Buy a $20 alarm clock.
Step three is rituals. Scroll like a ceremony. This one stood out because it's realistic. It accepts we're going to use these things.
Right. We live in this perpetual now where everything bleeds together. Rituals create containers. So you have an opening ceremony and a closing ceremony for your digital use.
So instead of mindless scrolling, you decide, okay, I'm going online for 15 minutes.
You make it intentional. You sanctify the time. You define the start and the end so you don't get lost. You say, I am opening the portal now. And crucially, I am closing it.
And the final step, step four, coherence. This feels like the hardest one.
It's the big one. It's a full-on alignment audit. You look at your screen time stats and you ask, does this data reflect what I claim to value in my life?
Oof. That's a brutal question.
It is. If you say you value family, but you spent 4 hours on TikTok and 10 minutes on FaceTime, there's a lack of coherence. It's about aligning your internal values with your external attention.
A real reality check.
It's asking, who is actually piloting this ship?
So as we wrap this up, the sources do try to end on a note of, well, maybe not optimism, but opportunity. The new renaissance.
Yeah, they frame this collapse of the old attentional order as an invitation to evolve, to move from being users.
And only two industries call their customers users.
To being
sovereigns.
It's a reminder that the bell is ringing, the alarm is going off, and the choice is pretty stark. Yeah. You can be the distraction or you can be the observer.
That's the challenge. And the final thought they leave you with is this image of the circuit. We're all plugged into this high-voltage circuit of information. The solution isn't to unplug completely. The goal is to learn how to balance the circuit with silence.
Balance the circuit with silence.
It leaves you with that question you have to ask yourself every time you unlock that screen. Who is actually piloting your mind right now? Is it you or is it the algorithm?
That is definitely something to think about. Thanks for this deep dive.
My pleasure.